Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
We made it for a Not a Thing podcast. We're pretty good. I mean, I think despite you know, the holiday over the weekend, I think we're all, you know, pretty in pretty good spirits.
well rested and here for some fun.
Yeah. Yeah, this weekend was good. We went to, well, it was my third time out at the Doug Benson 420 countdown show. Was it your fourth time?
Oh, well, I thought it was my fourth time, but then I thought I read that he'd only done it three times, so it could really be either.
So
it's in that 3 to 4 range.
The recollections around it are a little fuzzy, so.
Yeah.
It was
a fun night.
Yeah, it was a good show. It was a good show. I think it's impressive that he has a new show every year, or he said he's had a new show every year for the last 7 years, which is pretty impressive.
Unlike Graham Elwood, his opener, who has had the same act for ever. It's still funny. I still enjoy watching it, but it's the same act. Like 80% of it is the same.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he made one. Well, he made fun of the guy in the crowd, and then he made one kind of throwaway joke, where he like referred to that new Pitbull song, Pitbull and Kesha, I think, which I'd rather not think about. Not a thing. But yeah, it's been kind of an interesting week in news in the world and the internet. So other than the high holiday this weekend, Easter, right? That's what we were talking about?
Yes.
There's been some just wild stuff. Let's look at something that is going on right now, actually. It's trending. Look at us. We're trending. It's amazing. Well, we're not trending.
We're not trending.
Well, you know, maybe we'll get some, you know, overflow traffic or something. But the New York Police Department is trending. They put out a request on Facebook that people use the hashtag #MyNYPD when showing pictures of them with police officers. And the example picture is, you know, the guys have their arms around each other in front of the cop car. And it's like, hey, you know, these are the my local cops and I support them and that kind of thing. And for the most part, it started out really well, at least in the morning it looked like, and then it quickly devolved into just utter chaos. I mean, the campaign is completely you know, imploded at this point, because people started posting pictures of police brutality, especially, I mean, obviously just kind of from everywhere, but a lot of them were actually taken in New York and even recently. So it's pictures of police brutality and then tagging it with my NYPD. So it's kind of, I don't know, another bad situation. Another one for the fuck the police file. I think that's three weeks.
The segment continues on. It's an accidental segment. But it seems to, they keep doing stuff that keep getting them back on our radar.
I don't know if we'll have to spin it off into its own podcast, you know, when we get our...
get depressing really quick.
When we get our, you know, our first sponsor and decide to expand the podcast offerings, I think it's on that short list. Well, you know, don't tag it too much. It'll probably get you on a watch list or something.
Well, you're probably already on a watch list or something.
Very, very true. Very, very true. In kind of a different segment of, places that they definitely put you on watch lists for, a poker star. And I use that term very loosely because I don't really know.
Is it really a star?
Yeah. I mean, the headline was like, poker star, blah-bitty-blah-bitty-blah, and I look, and it's not even about poker. So whoever this supposed poker star is, he participated in essentially a round of cheating with the game Mini Baccarat, which I guess is played kind of like Baccarat, but it's meant to be a more casino game where you're playing against a dealer rather than playing against other people, like traditional Baccarat is. And what he was doing, it was, it said that it was, they termed it edge sorting, which I guess is subtly marking cards based on, you know, the, or marking cards on the edge of the cards, which is, I guess, harder to detect. But also, they kind of muddied it by saying that the card manufacturers' cards were not perfectly symmetric, or the backing pattern or whatever. So they were not marking them necessarily by, like, you know, fudging the cards or whatever. What they were doing was they were exploiting the pattern on the back, and they would rotate the cards based on, you know, if it was an advantageous card or not. And then they were using an automated shuffler, which meant that the cards would always come out in the same orientation, except for the ones that were turned around in order to, like, mark them. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's a weird kind of thing, because the way the article was written, it was done in such a way to say that, you know, these are all the techniques he had, and then they had to have, like, a section at the bottom explaining how this was actually illegal. And I don't... maybe I'm unclear about the whole thing, but really, the big deal was that the poker star conspired with the dealer to do the edge sorting. So, I mean, the dealer touches all the cards, so it's really incumbent on him to be fair, and it turns out the dealer was in cahoots with the guy. And I think that's the part that's actually the illegal part. The edge sorting thing is just a whatever. I mean, however you were going to do it, the guy could have just been handing money over the table to the to the poker guy. I mean, I don't know. It seemed like they went a little too far to describe the methodology that they were using to cheat, when realistically it's just like, yeah, you pay off the dealer, so he helps you out. So,
well, that's how it always seems to go down in those heist movies or heist TV shows, where it's like, oh, how could they possibly have done this? It's like, oh, well, they bribed people.
Yeah.
To help them get into wherever they need to get into.
Yep. Social engineering. It's a thing.
You know, definitely a thing.
Don't give out your passwords to people, all that kind of good stuff. It's kind of, I think, kind of basic security, but it's also really hard to work with, because you're going against a lot of what I consider kind of basic cultural norms, right? You don't like to make people feel uncomfortable. That's kind of a, you know, a thing, especially in United States culture. You want people to be kind of okay with how it's going. And so if you run into a place and you're very demanding of something and it makes people uncomfortable, you can get what you want. And that's a kind of a common tactic for, you know, stealing passwords or otherwise getting access to places you shouldn't and stuff like that. I don't know. It's a real thing. It shouldn't be a thing, but it's one of those human nature kind of gags.
don't be so Canadian. You'll be all right.
Well, a guy who decided he didn't want to be at least part of the mainland anymore had kind of an interesting trip over the weekend. Someone apparently scaled a fence around San Jose Airport, and then, you know, that's kind of impressive. He was able to do that because I'm pretty sure all of the fencing is not just fencing; it's like razor wire and all that kind of stuff to keep people out. So, A, he snuck in over the fence. B, hung out, waiting for a plane, and then C, climbed into the wheel well of the plane, and D hung out in the unpressurized, unheated, wheel well all the way to Hawaii. It was a 5-hour flight or something like that. And he survived. I mean, I'm sure he was really messed up on the other end, but he made it. And the preliminary report was that no charges would be pressed, which I was kind of surprised about. I don't know if that's just because he, it's almost like sympathy for all of the trouble he went through. But
really, no harm, no foul. And he's a minor, so.
Oh, he's a minor. Okay.
Yeah, he's 15.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, it shows, at least to me, like, if some, motivated 15-year-old can stow away on a plane, a motivated kind of potentially, nefarious individual could probably stow something else on a plane, in this kind of way. It just seems like a failure on a airport security's point of view, because this wouldn't be stopped at all by TSA. It falls under, I'm sure it falls under like Homeland Security in some way, but people trying to sneak weapons or explosives onto planes by going through the gates is really not where it's at, I guess. So it's another one of those, like, it is and isn't kind of a thing. It shouldn't be, for sure. But at the same time...
Don't climb into wheel wells. You will most likely die. This kid is very lucky.
At the same time, if we really want planes to be safe and stuff like that, we should probably be focusing on all sorts of other things and not whether or not...
And wearing shoes or not.
Yeah. Or if I brought, water instead of some other kind of crazy liquid. Anyway. Hopefully, did you hear at all? Was he just like running away from home? Was that his motivation?
Yeah, that's what it seems to be.
I guess
that's a bold move.
The move means that, because he's flying to Hawaii, it makes it extra hard to get him out of there. I mean, he would have to just take a flight back, but it's not like, he hopped on a bus and is just like a couple towns over kind of a thing. That's a ballsy move.
He's way better than I did when I tried running away as a small child. I only made it to the end of the block. So he made it off the continent. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So, to some degree, kudos to him. If nothing else, it exposes some gaping holes in how airport security kind of works, which is probably, a good thing, at least from the point of view of maybe they'll fix it. Hopefully they fix it in the right way and don't somehow make it illegal to climb into wheel wells or something like that.
I'm pretty sure that's already illegal. I don't think it's the law that was stopping the kid from doing it.
Well, there should have been some laws stopping some stuff that happened this weekend. What I consider San Jose landmark is on the chopping block kind of this week and next. The Century Theaters at Winchester Boulevard, right across from the from both Santana Row and kind of next door to the Winchester Mystery House, are being torn down. This has been in the news a little bit. These are the big dome theaters. They were owned by the Sayufi company, which, I don't know. Did you ever hear, you didn't ever go to Sayufi theaters. This was pre-Century theaters.
Yeah, no, I'm not that old. I guess I'm not. No, I'll rephrase that. I did not live in that area at that time.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, good. Good. I like that answer better. But anyway, Sayufi was the company before Century kind of, that Century brand kind of got put together. And then Sayufi sold a lot of their theaters to Cinemark. And so Cinemark rebranded all the Century theaters to Cinemark. But the ones at Winchester, they didn't rebrand for whatever reason. They're these huge theaters, like the old school, like big dome, dome-shaped theaters, not like a big auditorium, but like a, you know, a dome. Yeah, that's good. That's good, Alan. Anyway, striving for accuracy on the Not a Thing podcast. But the ones at Winchester, I thought, were really special. I mean, it was really the biggest screens around that were not IMAX. And they also had really good acoustics because it was, you know, well built for that and everything. But I guess from a like land use perspective, they were kind of inefficient, or at least the current owners thought that was the case. And so they decided to sell the land to turn it into something else. I don't know what, probably
more crap.
Yeah. It's already kind of like mall hell over there, being Santana Row and Valley Fair and the strip mall that's already over there. It's kind of weird what they'd be turning it into. I mean, if they have the possibility of turning it into something cool, but I'm not holding out a lot of hope about it. It's just kind of a bummer because that area is really one of the oldest parts of San Jose that kind of grew up in the 50s, and the article we'll link has a lot of pictures from like the old marquee and stuff on it. And if you're ever in that area and go to like the Winchester Mystery House, they have the pictures of what San Jose looked like a long time ago, and they have the pictures of the theaters there and stuff. So it really is kind of a landmark in the sense of the word, where it's a it's an important piece of, I think, San Jose history, but it doesn't fall under the like actual definition of landmark, which I guess in California anyway, to get landmark protection has to be 50 years or older. And the more I think about it, how much stuff is really even that old in San Jose? I mean, it seems like buildings go up and come down and get built back up again, even within a few years around here, just because of the way kind of real estate works and development works. Like, I know around the stadium, the new stadium in Santa Clara for the 49ers, the contracts have been made that if you're going to build anything, or if you're going to move into anything for a business, you pretty much have to tear the building down and rebuild it. So that's happening kind of a lot around where we are. The building next to where I work is in the process of being torn down. So that's kind of wild. I mean, it seems, it's more sad than anything else to lose something that is kind of big for San Jose history. I mean, it's not even that old, but it shows that the timeline for San Jose history feels shorter. Like, people won't remember like stuff that is more than, say, 20 years old, even, let alone 50 years old. So, you know, I'll be pouring a bucket of popcorn out on the curb for
the Century Theaters. That's littering, Alan.
What?
That's littering.
Well, I mean, I think it also speaks to like what is being valued about theaters nowadays. Because I mean, I think there's still a lot of churn over what the theater experience really means to people, and whether theaters are even going to be around in 20 years. So that's kind of interesting too. I mean, we've been on the podcast against ticket inflation via, 3D. I think we're fans of D-Box, but I don't think every movie has to be in D-Box.
No, just car movies.
So I think there's still, you know, some amount of movie theater culture that needs to be preserved, at least to some degree. Although, you know, it's a bummer watching those theaters get torn down. So we'll link that one in the comments. That one's good. Kind of a good article to check out. Kind of in a different vein, something that's going away that we're actually okay with is in Canada. They've had this kind of on the books for a while that they were going to start phasing out pennies. And I guess most recently they've really kind of ramped it up, and they've removed something like $4 billion in pennies. I mean, this is Canadian money, so whatever. But, you know, I mean, obviously they're not just like ripping it out of the economy, but the rationale was that in Canada, similar to the U.S., the base metal in a penny was copper. And I think in the U.S. it quickly stopped being that, but in Canada it was still a pretty good percentage of the metal in pennies until just a few years ago. And copper is one of those metals that people will steal spools of wire from, like, construction sites and things like that to get the copper, because it is so valued. I mean, it's a, you know, big conductor of electricity, and companies want it for all sorts of stuff. There's a, like, an actual black market for copper. And so I think part of the rationale was Canada wanted to pull those out of the market, because it could frankly resell them and make like a profit on pennies just by melting them down and then turning them into kind of raw materials again. But on the other hand, the bigger thing I think is they're moving away from pennies as a just unit of money. So everything will be rounded into, you know, the nickel or whatever their equivalent would be. And I think that's interesting, because it shows the value of money has kind of moved away from stuff coming down to the penny level. I don't know. I don't think that would really fly in the U.S. What do you think?
No, people don't like change.
Well, they really like change, but not But maybe not like...
No, in any iteration of that word, they don't like it.
I think the... there's kind of a... Like, the culture of the way prices are put together is really ingrained into... in the U.S., at least. Like, there's always the... you know, it's not $8, it's $7.99, you know, it's that kind of
thing. So they can trick you into paying more.
I mean, $7.95 doesn't quite sound as close to $8, or as kind of vibrant, you know. Ending in that $9 kind of sound is so, I guess, attractive. And even, I always found it weird, like, gas was listed as, you know, $4.09 and 0.9 cents. I mean, it's that kind of... You know, it's not 410, it's 409 and 0.9, which sounds less than 410. And so it's that kind of mentality. You're trying to shave off as much of a kind of a perception as is there. And so I think pennies are here to stay in the U.S., despite how kind of ridiculous it gets from a, like, carrying change perspective. Although, realistically, are we even going to use, like, money? Anymore?
Right. I mean, as long as people keep stealing my goddamn credit card number, I'm going to keep using money. And think, what would happen to the penny saver if there were no pennies? They'd have to completely rebrand.
The nickel saver? Doesn't have the...
They ring to it.
No, not at all.
But that's just my 2 cents.
Oh, man. Oh, good stuff. Well, if you get rid of pennies, one of the things that some game companies have done is moved to kind of a free-to-play model. And that's become really big recently for a lot of the games that are featured on the what did we call it? We were talking about the MOBA circuit, multiplayer or massively online. No, multiplayer online battle arena. That's what it stands for. So, like the League of Legends and your Dota 2 and the new Blizzard game that's coming out. It's like
Heroes of the Storm.
Yes, yes. So. All of those are based on a model where it's free to play. So you download the client and you can play, and there are things you can buy, and they're mostly like equipment and balance kinds of things. But for the most part, you can play completely free, and it's a good enough experience for people. And so their model is based that. Enough people will pay for stuff that it can be free for mostly everyone else. Are you getting an echo? Did that just happen?
No.
Oh, okay. Anyway, hopefully that's fine on the recording. So that model, I think, works for those kinds of games, and there are some. I mean, so this is distinct from the pay what you want kind of model. This is it is explicitly free to play for most people, and then if you want, you can upgrade. So you see this on like apps where it's free, but there are ads, and so if you pay, you get rid of the ads. So it's a similar kind of thing.
Or free to play, pay to win.
Yeah. I mean, that's taking it a little further, where it makes that much more clear, like where the line is. But the interesting news that came out of this week, or not news, there was just some opinion that I found on I think it was Polygon, which is a gaming website that we've talked about in the past. But they compared the free to play model. For games to Game of Thrones. And Game of Thrones is maybe the most pirated TV show, like, period. It has like massive surges of popularity. A lot of people watch it. It has kind of a big cultural impact. And there are all sorts of stats about how people are borrowing each other's HBO Go accounts, they're downloading it via torrents or whatever, and people are just watching the show. And HBO has pretty much said, yeah, that's fine, we're flattered. And this is kind of in the face of, like, all of the DMCA and kind of the anti-piracy kind of things for almost everything else. And the opinion piece says that Game of Thrones is like TV's free-to-play option. And they're saying that if there's enough buzz around it, it doesn't matter if there are a lot of people that are not paying for it, because there's some amount of the percentage that is paying for it. And that amount of people is enough to sustain them. I mean, I guess, you know, if you're big enough, you can do it in that way. That's what HBO is doing.
Well, they found that by the number of people who download it illegally, as that number increases, the number of subscribers increases as well, because they don't have a huge advertising budget. It's all basically word of mouth.
Right.
Which, if you allow people to spread it as much as they can, that's going to increase your market saturation.
Yeah, and it's a really, I mean, it's one of those things that I think people who rally against, harsh penalties for people pirating, they've said that, and it's never really been acknowledged until this piece about Game of Thrones, and it's really kind of a shakeup for the TV market, I think. I mean, I think it's an interesting thing for Game of Thrones. I don't know how you would build this kind of on purpose. Like, if you would say that, you know, these shows are free and then these shows are paid for, it really would have to be the kind of thing where people would want to pay for it.
Right.
I mean, because if it doesn't work out, if you're not big enough to sustain that kind of cost, or if the show just ends up not being that good, I mean, the investment in building the show would really go away. But at the same time, it's one of the other arguments against in favor of piracy from TV and stuff like that is really just that there is like a gross amount of inefficiency in how you can buy cable. And so HBO in particular, like, you can't buy just HBO Go. You would have to buy the HBO package. Like, you can't even buy the HBO, like, individual channel or anything anymore. You're buying, you know, that tier of TV. So it'd be HBO and all the variants of HBO. And that kind of model where you always buy everything in packages, you buy more than you would watch, is really where all that money comes from. It's just, you know, if you could buy just the channels you watch, you would probably pay like a lot less. And that's one of the rationales behind people who are like, you know, cut the cable and just do everything over the internet, or use other services to get your TV fix. And I think that's going to be an interesting kind of set of things as TV kind of evolves. What always has held me back from really cutting the cable is that I like to watch sports. The Sharks are playing literally right now against the LA Kings, beat LA. And it's a thing that I wouldn't be able to really watch without doing something, you know, very different. Like, I'd have to go to another place if I had cut cable. Although, and I don't think it's really caught up for hockey yet, but sports packages are starting to crop up, sports kind of internet services are starting to crop up. So MLB TV, to some degree, the NFL has that. But it's really, if you look at Major League Baseball, they've really invested in putting their stuff online. I mean, they had it was like second screen experience kind of stuff. Like, you could watch the game cast and it would show like where all the pitches came in and, you know, all the stats about hitting and everything else. And, now you can actually watch the games live through like a Roku or whatever. And you don't necessarily have to have a TV hookup. And so I think it's really starting to erode that kind of big cable kind of thing. And I think there was some more news, like Netflix just this last week came out against the Time Warner Comcast merger. So that's kind of a big deal too.
Also released that they're going to be increasing their pricing.
Well, sure.
they got to pay for all that content.
Well, I think that's something that is always still evolving. So I think as that kind of smooths out and we figure out like how much, you know, TV or TV like things are worth, that will make more sense. Hopefully. So what have we done this week? We're moving over into a movie that you saw.
Yes, and you also saw.
Yes, I also saw it, although I saw it when it opened.
Yeah, it's been a rough couple of weeks not being able to see it.
So we're talking now, are we talking Captain America, the Winter Soldier?
Yes, yes we are.
And?
Eh!
Oh, really?
I thought it was okay.
I really liked it.
I would put it behind Avengers.
Okay.
And probably even behind Iron Man 1 and 3.
Hmm.
And behind Captain America, the first Avenger.
Interesting.
It's better than Iron Man 2.
Oh, sure. Is that the bottom rung there?
Yeah, pretty much. there were a lot of things that I liked in it. Mm-hmm. It played a lot of service to people who know the comics. There's a lot of references in there. But maybe it's just because I've been watching a lot of action movies lately. The direction in the fight scenes, the camera work, I was not super impressed with. Like, there's a lot of cutaway stuff.
Yeah.
It didn't really feel like real fighting.
Yeah. It's really funny because I saw, just before I saw Captain America, I saw The Raid 2. And the fighting in that, if you remember the fighting in the first Raid movie,
yeah,
they just don't cut away. It's just these long, crazy sequences where they're probably, like, really hitting each other.
Yeah.
In order to get the shots the way they do, there's just no time to, like, oh, oops, you know, just roll with it. Go, go, go. Go, go, go. So I think you're right. The fight choreography, you know, suffered a little bit. Although I was surprised at how just straight up violent it was. It's really not pulling that that kind of movie punch where you know, to use a a fighting term, but you know, that kind of, you know, good guys don't kill people kind of angle. I mean,
it's interesting contrasting it with the TV show that it's closely associated with, the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
They invented a gun in the first few episodes that would just knock people out, and they called it a night-night gun.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to kill anybody. And then you go to see the movie, and they're killing everybody.
Right, right.
I'd say the best part of Captain America the Winter Soldier is how it made the TV show good. Like, the turn in the movie affected the TV show in a way that made it infinitely better.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, and I'm really tempted to jump back on to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just because of that. I mean, I think that world was good, but I didn't like how they were executing the show, kind of as it goes,
mm-hmm.
and the complexities that the movie adds to it would probably make that, you know, a lot more interesting. I would still have to get over how much I dislike so many of the characters on the show. But, you know, if it...
No, that show's really come along since the beginning.
Okay, okay.
I still don't think it's on par with the second season of Arrow, which is still going amazingly strong.
Hmm.
But it's getting better. And the movie helped a lot.
Good, good. Because I remember they tried to do a movie tie-in with... Thor Dark World.
Oh, yeah, and that had, like, nothing to do with the movie.
Right.
It's like, oh, this is bullshit. You brought on one of the characters. This has nothing to do with the storyline.
Yeah. And I think the Phase 2 stuff that they're doing with... or is it Phase 3 now?
No, we're still Phase 2, I think. Yeah. We're Phase
2. Yeah, that stuff is really good, but it also means that there's going to be so much Marvel content in movies and TV over the next, like, few years as that goes. You know, which is good. I think the stories they're telling are good. I'm kind of getting annoyed with all the kind of weird teasers at the ends of the movies.
Oh yeah, the teasers for this one were pretty dumb. I was not super excited when it was over.
Yeah. But Guardians is going to come out relatively quickly, so I think we'll be okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for that.
Oh, I'm totally on board. Totally on board.
To be honest, I was never a huge Captain America fan. So it's not... I didn't have the same sentimental spot that I had for, say, like Iron Man, yeah, who I liked before the movies came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's... So I think it did a good job. It was not a bad movie. It just didn't... I feel like the bar has been placed higher. And it kind of... As an action movie, it was kind of middling as far as the action. Hmm. And as a thriller, it wasn't surprising enough. It was pretty paint by numbers, so it wasn't too, like, surprising.
Yeah. I think the... I liked it more because it wasn't... I mean, it still had kind of inklings of an origin story kind of thing, except it was more like a villain origin. I did like it versus the first Captain America, in that he's actually able to kind of open up and start, like, you know, fighting people. I think the he was kind of not underused, but just like kind of I felt like he was kind of backseat in Avengers. And I really like Captain America, so I wanted more of that. So I like that from this Captain America movie.
All the Nick Fury stuff was great. I liked all the Nick Fury scenes.
I think the same way I liked Thor Dark World versus Thor. You know, like just get over the origin stuff and let's just you know, beat people up as who you're supposed to be.
I think I liked Thor Dark World better than Captain America Winter Soldier.
Wow. Okay.
But I liked Captain America First Avenger better than the first Thor movie.
Yeah.
It's weird.
No, I don't... I think the first Thor movie really, really just felt like a... we have to introduce this guy that's going to be in Avengers. I think it's good that they didn't give Hawkeye a movie. I just don't know if I could be that interested in a Hawkeye movie.
Well, they're giving Peggy Carter a TV show.
That's what I heard. That would be pretty cool. Yeah. I just realized that if they have Hawkeye and Falcon in the same movie, it's the Hurt Locker over again.
Yes.
Cool. Well, I think that's a good spot to wrap the show up. Was there anything else kind of coming up that's a thing coming up? I know Free Comic Book Day is coming, but that's not this weekend. I think
that's the first weekend in May.
Yeah, we have another week to go.
Plan accordingly. I'll remember to take the day off this year.
It's my last day. Well, not my last day, but it's a day before I fly to Anaheim for a work convention. So I'm going to load up on some reading material and distraction stuff. So that'll be good. But I think this coming week's pretty mellow, so we'll just take it easy. But I'm confident that we can get a guest on soon. We should start ramping guests back up. I'd be pleased to get a guest back on the show.
I'm confident in your confidence.
And we got to start planning for the big show.
Right, you know, the big 100.
Yes, triple digits. It'll be good. I don't know exactly what we're doing yet, but...
It'll be something. It'll be a thing.
Exactly. Cool. Well, I will talk to you next week, Brendan.
Till next time, Alan.